find anything?
No, but I know what you've been searching for your whole life.
Yeah, so I have a definition of evangelism. The spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness or pushing the Bible off the shelf into people's faces or shoving a Christian CD into someone's pocket. That's exactly how we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I personally would not recommend any of the techniques that this man used. But if there is something good to be said about what we saw, he at least was trying, probably not going to be successful, but trying to tell others about Jesus Christ and about who he was and how much he loved them. He was trying to let people know that he understood the responsibility that he had. Most of us laughed at his attempts, but I'm pretty sure there is also a sense of uneasiness on the inside of us when we think about sharing our faith with another person. I also think that that sense of uneasiness increases when we think about sharing with those who are the closest to us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Today, I want to talk about overflowing into the lives of the people who are closest to you, which are your family and your friends. And maybe you just feel a little bit of sweat coming on your palms right now as you think about telling your family about Jesus Christ and how much he loves them. And God wants us to know that we can be used to have a tremendous, tremendous impact on our own family and our own friends. And when you stop and you think about the Bible, there's a couple, some great examples of entire households who come to know Jesus Christ because one person in the family came to understand that Jesus loved them and wanted to have a personal relationship with them. And those who watched this person or listened to what they had to say also wanted to come to know Jesus. So I just have a couple examples. More than anything, for encouragement for us when you think, no, that will never happen to my family. These are real people, a real story. And so the first one is in Acts chapter 16, and many of you might have heard of Lydia. She was a lady who sold purple cloth. But let me read this in Acts 16. A woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, was listening, so listening to Paul, and the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was spoken by Paul. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So, of course, she stayed. That means they understood that she was a believer. And after she listened and after she was convicted, it says she was baptized. But did you notice who else was baptized with her? What does it say? It says her entire household were baptized. She became a believer first and affected the entire household. Another story in the Gospel of John. A father goes down to see Jesus and he pleads with him to heal his son who is on his deathbed. And after the man gives his request to Jesus to heal his son, this is what Jesus said in John 40. "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." Read this last part with me. And he himself believed and his whole household. So as a result of his faith, his entire household comes to know who Jesus Christ is and becomes believers. And it would be nice to say that any time you go and you're with your family and you share the gospel with them, that every one of them are all going to come to know Christ. But the reality is we know that's probably not the case all the time. In fact, some of you have maybe even taken the bold step to witness to your family and you have found that your relationship is chilled by them. In fact, they might have just kind of put up their hand to you and say, "Well, you know, thank you, but no thank you." And they kind of shut you out, maybe more distant in their relationship. And for whatever reason, and there's probably many of them, they just didn't want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So what do you do? What do you do in that circumstance? We're in this campaign on overflow, and the whole idea is that our relationship with Jesus should be overflowing into the lives of others, and so we grow our own relationship, and then out of that relationship, outflows God's love into the lives of other people. And I hope that you've been reading the book. I thought this week's chapters were just phenomenal. And I was just like, wow, I was just blown away. So what I want to do this morning is I'm going to share with you three lessons or three points that I think will help us when we come into this task of going out and making disciples of all the nations, which means telling people about our Savior and about our Lord. So if you like to write, you can write this down. Here's lesson number one. Understand there are things you can't do. I want you to understand there are things you can't do. And there's some sub-points under that. You can't undo the past. You can't undo the past. I think it would be safe to say with all of us in this room that we have had some missed opportunities that God brought our way to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a friend or a family. The doors got to open up. You know, uh-oh, it looks like I can share here. The Holy Spirit starts touching your heart that little way that you feel Him touching your heart. And He prods you to say something. For whatever reason, you didn't say a thing. And if that's true for you, that's probably true for most of us, what you need to do is stop thinking about that and let it go. Stop stewing over that. Quit thinking about it. Quit could-haves and should-haves and would-haves. And look for opportunities that you can now share the gospel with that person. Let go of what you didn't do. You can't change it. The past is past. Lost opportunities are just that. They're lost. So let go of that and take advantage of the current opportunities that you have. And maybe you think about this. If there's anyone who can do something about lost opportunities, who would that be? That would be God. And if God gave you an opportunity to share Christ with somebody, guess what He's going to do? He'll probably open up that opportunity again. And so if you start to pray, Lord, I really messed that one up. I wish I could have done something, said something, extended love. Lord, I pray that You'd open up that opportunity. All you got to do is ask God to do it. Matthew 7:7. Many of us have memorized this verse. But it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. So if you've missed an opportunity with a family, with a friend, with a coworker, it doesn't mean it's done. It doesn't mean it's over with. Just ask God to open up another opportunity to see what happens. Here's another thing you can't control. You can't control the future. It would be nice to think we can. Some of us use creams and hair products and all that kind of stuff to bring the future a little farther away from us, but that stuff doesn't work usually. We can't control the future. We have no idea for certain how someone is going to respond to the good news until you tell them the good news. And many times we set ourselves up for failure right away because we think, we assume that that person will never want to hear the gospel. Well, that's so-and-so, and I want you to think about so-and-so in your mind right now. You know that person? No way would that person ever come to know Jesus Christ. Well, that sounds like to me you know the future. And the reality is, we don't. We have no idea. Mark Twain says, I've known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. That's a great statement, right? I know a lot of people will never know Jesus, and they'll never come to Christ, so I'm not going to share it. We approach people with the assumption that they're going to reject what we have to offer. Now, will some people reject the gospel? By all means. People are going to do that. People rejected Jesus when He was alive, when He walked this earth. But not everybody, and not every time. And we won't know how someone responds to the good news until we share the good news with them and then see how they respond. You may just have the right word at the right moment, at the right time, but you'll never know if you don't take the risk. You'll never know. But here's something else about the future we don't know. Even though the person may not accept the good news that you shared with them, that doesn't mean they might not do something in the next hour or day or weeks or even years ahead. You have no idea the work that you're doing to be able to prepare the soil for that person's salvation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God uses His people to bring His message to our family and our friends and those that God brings around us. And there are several times where it takes a lot of people to bring in the harvest. It takes a lot of people doing all of their different jobs. And sometimes all you can do is move a person an inch closer to Jesus. That doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. That doesn't mean, oh, you know, I didn't seal the deal. I didn't pray the prayer. You've brought them just a little bit closer by being faithful, by letting them know that. So maybe you could just stop for a second and think about that person I told you to think about who you thought would never come to Christ. Ask this question yourselves. What can I do to bring this person closer to Christ today? It might be a phone call. It might be a pie dropped off at the house. It might be taking them to a movie. Who knows? Those little acts of love. Remember the very first chapter in our week, it says, just scatter seed. Scatter as many seeds as you can and let God be able to take care of the rest of it. Casting seeds of love and then letting God do the rest. Treat them like Jesus would and then see what happens. Here's a third thing you can't do. All right, third thing you can't make people do. You can't make people believe. You can't make people believe. That's a very personal thing. We can scream at people. It doesn't usually work. We can scheme or stalk, or we can sermonize them. We can preach them into sleep. But we cannot make anyone believe. Believing is a matter of individual choice, and no one could make me believe. It was a choice I had to make. That scripture we read in 1 Corinthians, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who gave the increase? Wendell or the person who's sharing? No. That's God's job. Who saves people? God saves people. God is in the life-changing business. We can't change a person, but we can witness for the one who changes lives. We can tell people about the one who loves them more than anybody else and that he can change. We plant, we water, but God gives the increase. And you know that if you've got someone that you love and they don't know Christ yet, you know that God wants that person to know him. It's God's work and entirely his work. John 3:6 says it this way, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God is the one who comes in and convicts the hearts. The Spirit brings about spiritual birth. So we can't change the past. We can't control the future. We can't make anyone believe. But there are some things we can do. There are some things that can do to make an unbelievable difference in a person coming to faith in Christ. So that's actually our second point. Realize there are things you can do. The first thing you can do, and it sounds pretty basic, but it's pretty powerful, you can pray. You can pray. No matter what's going on in the lives of the people you want to reach, prayer is the greatest way of reaching them so they understand who God is. And of course, probably the biggest thing you want to change, you pray for is God, we pray for their salvation. They would understand their brokenness. We would understand that. Ask God to touch them in such a way they come to know how much Jesus loves them. Now, another way you can pray, and it's probably, you know, you tell your friend, I'm going to pray this for them, they might not think it's the greatest thing, but you might pray that God would shake their lives up just a little bit. That God would ask, you would ask God to move in your family or friends in such a way that moves them out of their comfort zone. Kind of turn things upside down, because I know in my own experience, when things get a little bit out of my comfort zone and things become a little more challenging, I seem to seek God more. Is that true for you or is that just me? When things are going well, I usually am okay and I can do what I have to do. But when all of a sudden I'm outside of what is normal for me, I'm driven to God to say, God, I need you. I need your help. I need your grace. I need your strength. And I think that's true for our family and friends as well. And so we can ask God to move them out of their comfort zone so they come to the place where they be willing to seek God for his help. And probably the most powerful prayers you can pray is in the middle of those places, is God, help me. And when your friend or your family says, God, help me, you have an open door to be able to say, hey, here's how God helped me when I was in those kind of situations. So pray for your family and your friends. And if you're not praying for them, I don't think we should be expecting a whole lot to happen. Here's something else you can do. You can pray. Secondly, you can listen and love. You can listen and love. I think listening and loving go together. If you love people, you listen to them. And what does that require? That requires that you have time. And to be able to take time to let them know that you care speaks so much to people. I want to read a story out of the book. So if you've been reading this, this will be a familiar story. But it's the work that took place in the lives of people because this individual listened is very, very powerful. You'll recognize it if you've been reading. A young lady by the name of Lisa was approached by her outreach pastor and asked if she would become part of the new evangelism team. After Lisa considered the request for a moment, her first words out of her mouth were, "I'm sorry, I'm no good at evangelism." Since that is the response that the outreach pastor received many times, he asked her, "Wouldn't it be exciting to help people come to know Jesus?" "Oh," replied Lisa with a big smile, "I get to do that all the time." When the outreach pastor heard that he asked her what she meant, Lisa said, "Every few months, God sends me a new friend to listen to. Pretty much all I do is tune into what's going on in the person's life and let the person know that I care. Sooner or later, for some reason, most people ask me how to get to know Jesus. When they do, I tell them. And then we pray together to ask the Lord to come into their hearts. I can't stand the idea of high pressure knocking on doors evangelism thing. It feels too manipulative to me. Listening to people and talk to them heart to heart is something I love to do." After a stunned moment, the outreach pastor roared with laughter. Then he said, "Just out of curiosity, how many people are we talking about?" Lisa could not say at the moment, but when she went home that night, she started reflecting back, looking in her personal journals over the past 7 years, and what she found out was that she helped more than 80 people begin a personal relationship with Jesus, all because she would start by listening to them. Now, how many of you can listen? If you could just raise your hands up real quick for me. All of you. Chuck listens. We can all listen. Sometimes it's all somebody wants to know that you care. You might not agree with them when they start sharing their worldview with you. It doesn't matter. You can listen. And as they listen to you, and as they listen to how your life has changed, it will open up the opportunities for you to do that. And I thought, wow, that just takes the fear out of evangelism. It just makes it so natural. It makes it where anybody can share their faith story with somebody. That's pretty cool. So if we can do nothing else, we can pray for people and then we can listen to them and love them. And another thing we can do is you can share and serve. You can share and you serve. When we humbly and unselfishly perform small acts of kindness, it makes our friends and our families go, "What's up? Why would they do that? Why are they using their time like that?" It's putting the love of Jesus into action. It connects our witness, which is the words that we have, with our works. James speaks about that very clearly in chapter 2. If faith doesn't have works, it is dead by itself. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you faith from my works." So you can say anything you want, but there's nothing backing it up. It's really hard to believe that. So those little acts of kindness that we do, they go a long way. Serving, I like this line, serving gives our words an anointing of credibility. It gives them an anointing of credibility. I want you to finish this phrase, and if you're listening to the kids, you should be able to do it. Actions speak louder than real loud words. Actions speak louder than words. Does that mean we don't use words? No way. We got to have words. But our actions speak loudly. 15 people serving in that garden, actions spoke loudly. All the people serving the other day, yesterday in that meal, actions. The people came up to me and says, "I can't believe how loving and kind your people are. This place is the real deal." That's what they said to me. This place is the real deal. And not because we screamed at them. The gospel is very clear in the presentation. But actions spoke. And they open a door for, you know, they open the door for us to be able to speak. Those little things, helping to carry something, giving a hand, a little word of encouragement. "Man, that was awesome. Thank you for your time." Worship team, you guys are awesome. You rock. And you use your gifts and your abilities and you serve us. That is awesome. We just want to thank you. Something as simple as that. A small act of serving speaks volumes. There are things you can do. You can pray, you can listen, love, you can share and serve. And that brings us to the last point. Leave the results to God. Let God be God. Do your part and leave the results to God. If you've prayed, and if you've listened, and if you've loved, and if you've shared, and if you've served, and you've done what you can do, the rest is up to God. Leave the results to God. Now, many of you said, "You know, I've done that. I've shared. I've done all those things. It looks like nothing is happening. I have no idea if this person, my family, my friends, is even open to what's going on, understanding that their lives can be changed by the gospel. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Don't stop what you're doing. If any of the people that we're sharing with, these are what, family and friends, if you stop because they're not changing, then they're just a project to you. If you are doing this and you're trying to share somebody because it's a project, I would ask you not to do it. These are your family and your friends. So never, ever, 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 God, give up. You have no idea what God is doing in their lives. And as I was thinking about that this week, made me think of Steve and his father. And I'm going to ask Steve to come up real quick just for a couple minutes, because there are going to be people in your life that you think will never come to faith in Jesus. And I just want you to be encouraged by what happened in Steve's life. So a couple questions, Steve. Thank you for coming up first.
You're very welcome.
That. How long have you been a Christian?
A little over 40 years.
40 years. Anybody 40? Wow, it's a long time. 40 years. That's yes. Amazing. So your mom was a Christian before you.
Yeah, she got things started in our family. She got saved a few years before that and then started praying for the kids and her husband, yep. My dad. And lo and behold, almost all of our kids became Christians over the course of the next few years,
wow.
Including me.
Including you.
Yes.
And so as you grew in your relationship with Jesus, you knew it was part of your responsibility to share. And one of the people in your life that you loved very much and looked up to was your dad.
Yep.
Tell me, what was his response to all the stuff he saw going
on? Yeah,
Dad
was a great guy, but a kind of self-made man. And he listened, but he didn't respond to it. He said, I'm okay. I can take care of my life. I don't really believe in that. So that was, we prayed for and talked to him for about 30 years.
For 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he didn't go to church or anything, but he overheard a lot of conversations that we had with one another and with him around. And yeah, so.
So then your dad got sick.
That's correct. Yeah, about probably 18 years ago, he got a brain tumor. So he had brain cancer. And had surgery, and then radiation treatment. So that really, you know, took him down. His strength was gone, and he started losing his memory, and was not able to work anymore. So yeah, he got hit pretty hard by that.
Were you at all thinking in your mind that Dad was, coming to faith in Christ at all?
Oh no. I think rather he's on his way to hell because he was so sick and it happened so fast, and he showed no interest in spiritual things. And can I just say kind of what happened after that is my mom got saved because a pastor came into New Woodstock, which where we were brought up. Pastor Chuck Little started Open Door Baptist Church, which is still going strong. He started the church, helped, my mom got saved under his ministry. And Pastor Little was just one of those man's man kind of guys. So he used to go around to all the men in town, in the barn, in the garage, wherever, stop in and say hi. Just introduce himself to him and said, hey, if you ever want to get right with God, you know, I'm available. Come and see me. My dad was starting to really fade, and his clarity was fading fast. One day, in January of 2001, he said to my mom, I want to go see Pastor Little. Now, they had moved out of town into Van Hornsville, so it's a couple-hour drive. Said, I want to go see Pastor Little. Went to him and said, I want to get saved. I mean, out of the blue, just like this, the moment, the heavens opened up. He went to Pastor, led him to Christ. It was an incredible time. Kind of closed back up because in August he passed away. So it was just a few months later.
But
so
I remember your mom said she would read the scriptures
and then
Psalms and
he was sick? I talked to my mom about this. She said he liked music, so he listened to country western music, and then she started sneaking in Christian music. And he actually started to like it and requested Christian music. So that was an influence, I think, along the way as well.
So you would say to anybody who has family members who has never come to Christ, don't give up.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't
give up. Keep on praying and just trust God. And yeah, hopefully something amazing will happen like with my dad.
Well, thank you, Steve, for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's just thank him. Well, we need to do our part, but most importantly, we need to let God do his part and trust him. There's things we can do, things we can't do. We need to trust that he is in full control and loves our family more than we do, our friends more than we do. So I would challenge you to take a risk, take a step, allow God to do what he does, and let's see what happens. So would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for those who loved us enough to step out of their comfort zone to tell us that you love us. Thank you for moms and dads who did that with us. Thank you for friends. Thank you for relatives. Thank you for people who felt that funny, queasy feeling in the stomach, thinking, oh no, I don't think you're going to hear, but I'm still going to share. And that you, Holy Spirit, worked in their heart and they came to know you. I pray that we would overflow with love for those around us, with the love that you've poured into our hearts. And that, Lord, it would just be a very natural, simple process of reaching this world, our friends and our family. So thank you, Lord. We love you so very much. Be with us as we go from here. May we bring great honor and glory to you. It's your name we pray. And everyone said together, amen. Membership class.